Gardner, brought to you by OK Federal Credit Union, Green Thumb Nursery, United Rentals, Enterprise Sod Store, American Heritage Bank, Osage Region, Peter's True Value, Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, and Overlees Woods Lumber. If you have a gardening question for Larry Glass, call 918-336-1400 or 800-749-5936. And now, the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass.
Good morning. Glad to have you with us. It's time for Green Country Gardener on a cool and rainy Saturday. You probably already know that, even if you haven't gone outside yet. It's pretty cool and rainy across northeast Oklahoma and southeast Kansas. Larry has his radar pulled up, and it looks like we're gonna get some rain.
There's a big old slug of rain heading into Osage County. It looks like it's building up a little bit as it heads this way. So get out there real quick and get that fertilizer down.
Is that what you need to do? Now, we need the rain, right?
We do real bad. Yeah. It is dry. We were planting some trees the other day, and it's just dry down deep. And and I tell the people, well, you know, golly, when you water your trees, the tree's going to use some of the water, and the ground's going to soak up the water too.
Right.
So you have to monitor the moisture content very carefully on your new plants.
Well, if you have a question for Larry, by the way, I'll give out the phone number again, 1-800-749-5936. The phone number, if you'd like to be a part of the program, if you have a gardening-related question for the man with the emerald thumb, Larry Glass, 1-800-749-5936.
In the garden right now, it's right on the tail end of when it's time to cut back your trees. I was at a house yesterday and had a redbud tree that was kind of crooked. And I said, well, you can even up the canopy a little bit by trimming this and not trimming that and get the bottom of the canopy pretty much even with the ground. And the tree really will look pretty good. So even though it is crooked. So he said, well, yeah. I said, you better get after it pretty quick because we're running out of time.
Now, how does the tree become crooked?
In this case, it was real close to the house. And it had grown in a direction away from the house.
Okay.
And it looked like it was on a hill, kind of. But the canopy also looked like it was on a hill. So if you were to take that the bottom of the canopy and make it level, then the tree would look a little better. So anyway,
okay.
So it is time kind of to do that and look for, and you know, like the usual, the conflicting wood. I was looking at some trees and also where the wood rubs together. It's just not a healthy situation.
Right.
Imagine rubbing, you know, your legs together or something, and it starts to bleed, and the skin falls off, and the bones are hanging out. It must hurt the tree, golly. So anyway, look for that too. Also, shrubs can be cut back right now. I cut back my dwarf yopon hollies this last week, and the standard yopon hollies. They can be cut back right now. If you've got a yopon holly that's eating the house, and I see that you go up and down the rows, it's just all over the place. People plant them way too close to the house. They need to be cut back right now, or they can be cut back, put it that way, right now. And you can cut them back very sternly, actually. They respond very well to a rather stern cutting back. We have a caller?
We do. All right, someone on the line. Good morning. You're on with Larry.
Well, good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
Well, I have a farm that I've inherited from my dad, and it is set fallow for, goodness, at least 15 years.
Yeah.
And I'm just now trying to get it restarted. And I've got about 2 acres of it that blackberry thicket has just completely taken over.
Wow.
And I was wondering if you had any tips or tricks on some method that I can go through and carve some rows out through there so that we can actually collect some of the berries, maybe.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, at least get a pass through it so I can get to the other 15 acres of my property.
Right. First of all, my best advice is to stock up on vanilla ice cream. Because there ain't nothing better than fresh blackberries on vanilla ice cream.
That's not a bad idea.
But the blackberries, what you need to do on the blackberries is find the main trunk on each plant. And if you really can't find the main trunk, if it's just a bramble, you need to cut it back rather sternly and then have some space between the clumps. You know, try to pick out the good, sturdy, strong ones, and you'll have runners in between, and you just kind of have to go through it. It's a tedious, difficult, and rather thorny process, but you want to find some of the more desirable-looking clumps, and then cut them back. At this point, cut them back to the main scaffolds, and then hopefully doing that, you'll be able to get some sense of organization to it.
Right. Now, I have done some research. Now, do I need to go through after I've cut, like, the ones out that I don't want? Do I need to go through with, like, a disc or something and fill those up? Or is there some chemical I could put so that they don't come back in those spots that I don't want them anymore without hurting the rest of it?
Yeah, the chemicals you put on there will travel through the roots and you'll cause considerable damage. So physical removal of the runners is probably the best way to handle that.
Okay.
So if you disc it up, you'll take the roots, you'll cut them up and redistribute them, and they'll come back up again. So so you'll have to more or less be a bit more meticulous with it.
Just make sure I mow it every year from now on and don't let them grow up too high, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you could mow them back, but it's going to be something you do in perpetuity. Ultimately, though, you might want to whittle away at it over time and perhaps get some sense of organization to it, perhaps over time.
Okay. All right. Awesome, Larry. But I appreciate the advice.
Yeah, and get that vanilla ice cream ready.
Yeah, exactly. Have the wife ready to make some cobblers, too.
So. Oh, yeah. All right. All right. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for the phone call. If you'd like to join the program, once again, it's 1-800-749-5936. We do have another caller. Good morning. You're on with Larry.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question about asparagus beds. I planted mine 8 years ago, and this last year it just fizzled out.
Yeah.
So do I need to dig all that up and redo it again?
Well, I have a couple of questions. How's the drainage in that area?
We are on a low level, and we get a lot of rain down through here, but I have it on the high side where it goes on through.
Uh-huh. Okay. A couple of things you need to do. You need to check out your soil and see if it's porous. Asparagus is not like real heavy soil. So you'll want to check out the density of your soil. And that's simply digging a hole around there and just looking at the soil. And do what we call the drop test and see how the root ball shatters when you compact it into a ball and drop it on the ground. And if it just kind of clunks, it's your soil is probably too heavy. And we had a wet summer a couple years ago, and it could have initiated the demise of the plants. If it is a problem with the soil, you want to loosen it up a little bit. So you can add some compost to the soil to help aerify it, if you will. And another thing you might want to do is a soil test. Asparagus likes a fairly high soil pH, and if your surrounding soil is by nature acidic, then you need to correct that too with some some agricultural lime.
What I'm planning on doing is just going in there and tilling through it and starting a whole new bed on it. Would that be feasible?
That would be good. You might want to go ahead and dig out a perimeter around it and create a mounded bed. Asparagus does very well, actually, on a railroad right away. It's because they're hilly and they drain real well. So
because I can go to some old house that's been there for a million years and just pick all the asparagus in the world, and I've only had mine 8.
Yeah. Well, you're probably trying too hard with it.
Well, that's all right. I love it.
you're coddling it. You're babying it too much.
The last question about asparagus is it okay when we quit cutting it to just let it grow up into the fern stage?
Yes, definitely.
Then mow it off in February?
You want to have some spikes coming up, for lack of a better word, so it'll photosynthesize and feed the roots. So you do need to have some survivors, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so very much.
Good luck with that. And remember, well-drained, loose soil in an area that's, if it doesn't drain very well, it should be elevated somewhat.
Okay.
And then it should do pretty good. It's a thrival neglect kind of plant.
Okay. I'll raise it then. I'll raise my bed.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the phone call. Once again, if you'd like to join the program, 1-800-749-5936, 1-800-749-5936. Larry, you were talking about crabgrass control and cutting back trees and stuff like that.
It's time to put down the crabgrass control, typically around St. Patrick's Day.
We're getting there. It's not this weekend. It's next, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not missing the green. What day is it? Do you know?
Today's the 11th.
Why? What day is St. Patrick's Day?
The 17th.
Oh, okay, the 17th. All right. Luckily, I know what today is.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. But anyway, you want to put it down now. The important thing is to get in there before the soil temperature gets up to 50 degrees. In 50 to 55, up to 60 degrees, the crabgrass will start growing. Now, we're coming into a cool spell coming up, so it'll delay the emergence of the crabgrass. I was a little concerned about it possibly coming up because it has been unusually warm lately. Mm-hmm. But this warm spell should slow down the production of it, or rather the germination, or stop the germination of crabgrass. It has to be, over a few days, it has to have some fairly warm soil for it to come up. So right now is the time, if you do have a problem with crabgrass, it's the time to do some control. So any crabgrass control will work. There's no magic formula for what, just buy stuff that has crabgrass on a picture of the crabgrass on it. Follow the directions very carefully. And keep in mind that the crabgrass control works anywhere from 2 to 3 months, depending on the rain we have. So 2 months from now, that's April, that's May, well, that's prime time for crabgrass to come up. And the control will have expired, and then you're going to get a second generation of crabgrass control, or crabgrass coming up. So get enough for 2 applications.
Okay.
And then do it later on. Because we do tend to have a rather extended spring here in Oklahoma.
That's right. Which is nice.
It sometimes is, yeah. The weather's weird.
As long as it doesn't get to be summer in April.
What was it, like 85 degrees in
Thursday?
And
that's
then,
right.
Then Friday it was whatever.
Yeah, it's going to be, we've almost hit the high already today. We do have another caller. Good morning. You're on the air with Larry.
I have 3 questions from my wife to Larry.
Okay.
Do you have any gourd seeds?
Gourd seeds? If we don't have some now, we're going to be getting some shortly. But yeah,
all right.
You don't want to plant
to make some birdhouses.
Yeah, you need to plant those in mid to late April. They like it kind of warm.
But you will have some later on.
Oh golly, yeah, we've got them every year. If you don't, okay. I got some
also,
at home. I grow a bunch of gourds at home, and I got a whole bunch of seeds. So anyway, go ahead.
Also, she wants to know, do you have any dill plants?
What kind of plants?
Dill.
Oh, dill, yes. I don't think we have any right now, but it's something we carry on a regular basis. So, yeah, when it gets warm enough, it'll be time to really get those out. So we will have it. If we don't have it now, we will have some. We got a shipment of herbs in, but I was so busy on appointments this week, I didn't have time to really take inventory of what we have. So you might call the office and see if we have any dill plants.
What about fennel?
Same thing. We'll have that, too. Give dill and fennel lots of room.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Keep in mind.
I can relay the message.
Okay. All right.
Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you. We better take our first break. Once again, if you'd like to join the program, phone number to call is 1-800-749-5936. That is the phone number if you have a question for Larry. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener.
Brent Walker's in from United Rentals. And Brent, I think you're still continuing a weekend special, right?
Yeah, we are. You come in and pick up the equipment after 1 o'clock on Friday. We'll let you rent it over the weekend for the one-day rate. Bring it back Monday morning by 8 o'clock.
So really, you get 2.5 or 3 days for the price of one.
Yeah, that's correct. You get 2 days to use your machine, and it helps out a lot of people. And for the homeowners, that's probably the best deal we got.
United Rentals in Bartlesville, 3801 Southeast Nowater Road. Call to reserve your equipment rentals, 918-333-9580.
Faith and Begora, get your shamrocks now at Green Thumb Nursery. And while there, be sure to pick up your geraniums. Green Thumb has geraniums in various colors and pot sizes. And now's the time to plan your vegetable garden. Pick up your garden seeds today at Green Thumb. And you really should be sowing your lawn right now. Green Thumb has 5-star fescue seed in stock. And be sure to check out Green Thumb's new shipment of trees and shrubs. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5.
Hi, this is Jeremy with Patriot Hyundai on Highway 75 in Bartlesville, your exclusive home of Warranty Forever. And we have a deal for you. A fully loaded Hyundai Elantra for just $16,978 or $277 per month. We not only have great deals on new Hyundais, but also strive to make your buying experience the best possible. And you can go to any major review site and see what others have said about us.
Kenny from Dewey says,
our salesman was polite, knowledgeable, and very diligent in following up on what he had said he would do. We are very pleased with the service we received.
I challenge challenge you to look up what your neighbors are saying about us on your favorite review site today. With Hyundai Assurance and America's best warranty at 10 years or 100,000 miles and a fully loaded car starting at just under $17,000 or $277 per month, why not give us a shot? Come see us at Patriot Hyundai, the exclusive home of Warranty Forever on Highway 75 in Bartlesville or at patriothyundai.com.
2017 Hyundai Elantra loaded MSRP $20,085. Your price $16,978. Stock number 17008. All rebates to dealer.
Welcome back to the program. It's Green Country Gardener on a cool and rainy Saturday. Glad to have you with us. Larry Glass in studio, and Kevin just walked in as well. Phone number 1-800-749-5936.
Yeah, here in walks the reason for my crabgrass. Kevin, how are you doing?
You, doesn't it? It comes to you, doesn't it?
Anyway. Yeah, get a good south wind. Yeah,
get a south wind. I'm blowing at you. Anyway, if we could get an inch or two of rain, that would really help, wouldn't it?
It really would, yeah.
And, things would pop.
Yeah, and it looks like it might be kind of heading this way.
It's
so
heading this way.
Let me refresh the page. And
yeah, it's heading this
but
way.
But anyway, yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah,
what do you got there, Larry?
It looks like a good one.
Yep. What do you got on there? What do you got on?
Oh, we're talking about crabgrass.
Crabgrass.
Yeah.
It's going to start real quick.
It'll start, the 1st of May, the middle of April.
I've got those pretty purple flowers in mine.
Oh, they're just beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yeah, you need to let the cows loose on those. But
by the way, if you're curious, Washington, Osage, Nowata County, about 0.02 to 0.08 inches of rain so far. That's the total. So not much.
It's not enough to get the pollen washed off the hood of my truck.
Yeah, so. That's right. That's accurate. Yeah, but hopefully more is coming.
Oh, yeah, it is. Well, anyway, golly. So crabgrass, kind of have to think holistically on crabgrass. First of all, you need a good, healthy lawn to help keep it under control. And that is following the guidelines for fertilizing your lawn. That is, Bermuda grass and zoysia grass are warm season grasses. They grow quickly and rapidly when it's warm. So that means the month of May, June, July, and August are the times when you want to be fertilizing your Bermuda grass and your zoysia grass. Mm-hmm. And also another thing on watering your grass too. You want to avoid daily watering on your lawns. A lot of people, they turn on the sprinkler timer and bang, goes on every day. And
Even
when it's raining, just like clockwork.
That's right.
And I guess they look at it as like electricity or something, some kind of utility that's always on or something.
Uh-huh.
And or they don't know how to program the timer.
Now, there's probably something you can hook up with your phone to do some of that stuff now, right? I mean, I guess we're probably...
Some of them you can.
Yeah, you're probably getting into it.
It's coming into that right now.
Right.
And golly, some guy in Russia will hack it and probably make it water all day.
Yeah, that's right.
But anyway, so yeah, they're getting a bit more sophisticated like that. If you're good with that iPhone thing, I've got one right here. But
are you good with it?
This is about the limit of my
capability.
Okay. But anyway, a good watering once a week. Now, if you've got hilly terrain, I know that can be kind of difficult because it'll run down the hill. Mm-hmm. But a lot of these timers can be programmed to operate more than once in a day. In other words, you've got an A and a B and a C, D program.
Right.
And you can, if you've got some hills, first of all, you want to install sprinkler heads that distribute water at a slower rate. For instance, Rainbird has a series of nozzles that come with their 5,000 series rotors.
Uh-huh.
And you can put a 1.5 in a 2 and a 3 and a 4 and whatever up to an 8 calibration. It has no reference other than just a number, but anyway, and look at the charts and see how the water is distributed.
And then
you run it more than once. You go ahead and turn it on, and when the water starts to run off, that's when that tells you how long to run it. Anytime after that, you're just throwing the water away.
Right.
So
And then if it had a good hard rain, maybe you don't need it for that week? Is that...
Precisely. That's what automatic climate controls are for.
Gotcha.
These sprinklers also have the ability to be interfaced with a rain gauge, more or less, that registers rainfall.
Cool.
And then it sends a wireless signal to your timer and says, it rained.
You don't need you today.
You don't need it right now. Yeah. And those can also be calibrated based on how much water is Rainbird has a really good one that you can calibrate it right there by just pushing up and down and registering the response time depending on how much water it is. So, and it's also regulated by temperature too. So there's several factors that play into these wireless things. So it can it's about as close as to autonomous as you can get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now they're coming out with new soil moisture sensors too. When they get one that's really good, that I think is going to work and it's going to last 10 years in somebody's sprinkler systems, we'll put them in. But I haven't seen one that number one, is user-friendly yet, and number two, that has a long lifespan.
So you need to keep on putting in new ones is what you're saying if you use it.
Yeah, and people don't want to replace, you know, a $200 amendment to their sprinkler system every year. So they want something that's going to last, so.
That's right.
I haven't seen that yet. But when that happens, we'll be able to do that. So if we had soil moisture sensors that were any good, then golly, you wouldn't even have to program your timer. Just plug it in and let it go on default. And when it gets moist, it'll just quit.
Now, see, that's what that reminds me. Charlie's been on here telling everyone to remember to set their clocks ahead an hour before you go to bed tonight.
Uh-huh.
And every time he says it, I just think, well, my phone's going to tell me what to do anyway, because it's just going to do it itself.
They're automatic. And the new timer is automatically just for that, too. They're programmed for that.
Yeah,
so.
There you go.
But
you hardly even need to do it anymore.
Yeah, but if you have an older timer and it waters an hour off, your grass is just going to get traumatized. Mm-hmm. So you need to reset your sprinkler timer, too.
You don't
want to mess up your plants. So.
Yep.
I'm just joking.
I was like, yeah.
Okay, anyway. So we talked about crabgrass and what initiates the sprouting of crabgrass, and that is a certain soil temperature. We also talked about the longevity of the crabgrass control, anywhere from 2 to 3 months. So, and because of our somewhat extended spring, you might want to apply that again. In May, for instance, here's March. You can put it down right now. April, May, middle of May or so, put it down again, and it'll last up until July. And usually by then, it's the seeds are either eaten up or dead or washed away. And then we said that keeping the grass healthy with the proper fertilization and watering properly is another good way to keep crabgrass under control. So a good healthy lawn is a good deterrent to crabgrass.
Okay.
So right now, where the door is opening up, it's time to think about doing something about it. So get out there. We got a little rain maybe coming today. So.
Still looks like it. Yeah.
Oh, see, I haven't really mastered.
Larry's pulling up his radar.
There it is. There it is again. So yeah, it's the middle of Osage County. So it'll be here shortly.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, it's time to mulch those beds. In anticipation of the rain and the weeds, it's a good idea to rake out the old stuff that's kind of bad looking and maybe put in some new mulch. And at Green Thumb, we have a mulch in two ways. We have it in bulk, which is actually a very fine grind of mulch. It's really kind of slivery, if you will. In other words, there's no big, huge chunks in it like you get in some of the other mulches that tend to float away when it rains. Uh-huh. And we also have it in the bags, which is a little darker in color. And it's another fine grind also. We've, over the years, have found good sources for good mulch. And it's stuff that looks nice and lasts a long time and stays in place, too.
Okay.
So, anyways, time to mulch those beds. Time to fertilize that fescue grass right now also.
Okay.
And I would use something that has a little bit of emphasis on nitrogen, 16-8-8 or something like that. You don't want a lot of really rapid growth right now on fescue, but another month you probably want to apply a maybe higher nitrogen on your fescue grass.
Now it says here mulch the beds in anticipation of rains and weeds. So does the mulch help keep weeds away? Is that
it? Does
okay,
it helps keep weeds away. It also helps conserve moisture.
And what's the reason for that? Does the mulch help keep weeds away?
Oh, it is a layer that's above ground that the seeds can't sprout.
Okay.
And if we do have a lot of rain, they do sprout. When it dries up, they just die in this mulch.
Sure.
From being dried up. And as a cover, and I'm saying a cover, I'm saying anywhere from 2 to 3 inches, it suppresses weed sprouting too, because there's no light available.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like being underneath a a sheet of plastic or something. Okay. It just doesn't permit it from sprouting. So yeah, so it does have some benefits as far as that's concerned, not only appearance, but weed abatement and water conservation.
If you'd like to join the program and ask Larry a gardening-related question, phone number is 1-800-749-5936, 1-800-749-5936. We'll take another two-minute break and be right back with more Green Country Gardener after this.
Finding a new home is hard enough, so financing one should be easy. At American Heritage Bank, we believe buying a home should be a smooth, enjoyable experience. Whether you're thinking of buying your first home, looking to upgrade to the home of your dreams, or wanting to refinance your existing home, we have a solution that's right for you. Visit us online at ahb-ok.com today. American Heritage Bank, simply better lending. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Enterprise Sod Store has everything you need to make your lawn and garden spectacular. They have mulch, topsoil, even gravel for driveways, all sold in bulk quantities and at bulk pricing, saving you money. All materials Enterprise sells can be delivered, saving you time. Start your lawn and landscaping projects today. Call the sod expert, Enterprise Sod Store, at 918-333-6888 or stop by and see them at 3410 Southeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville.
Think fast. In the short time it takes to listen to this message, a small flame can turn into a big fire. Several minutes more, and thick, poisonous smoke may have filled your lungs and reduced your ability to respond. Give it five, and your entire home may be filled with flames.
Keep breathing. We've got you.
Don't let your world go up in smoke. Have working smoke alarms and practice an escape plan for you and your loved ones. Learn more at usfa.fema.gov, because fire is everyone's fight.
Visit Peter's True Value at their new location in Dewey and find great values at excellent prices. Peter's carries a full range of Bonanza minerals and feeds from Mid-America Feeds in Tallulah. Need a new weed eater? Peter's now is an authorized Echo brand dealer carrying weed eaters and more. Check out their other new departments too, like lawn and garden. They've even got expanded inventory throughout the store, so you'll always find just what you need. Get more out of your shopping day with new hours of 8 to 7 Monday through Friday and Saturday 8 to 5. That's Peter's True Value, 1865 North Osage, Highway 75 in Dewey. Peter's True Value. Start right. Start here.
Good morning. Welcome back to Green Country Gardener. Hope that your Saturday morning is off to a good start, albeit with some cool and rainy weather. Once again, phone number, if you'd like to join Larry on the program this morning, it's 1-800-749-5936, 1-800-749-5936. We're getting ready for spring. Spring is almost sprung.
Right. Now, prerequisite to applying the crabgrass control, you want to dethatch that Bermuda grass. That's a very popular thing right now. A lot of people are doing that. They're mowing grass outside of even people's apartments and keeping them awake all day.
That's right.
So
yes.
It's that time of year to get all that thatch off of that. And then you put down the crabgrass control.
Okay.
It's also time to fix the fence and tune up the lawnmower. A couple of weeks ago, I started mine up. I had winterized it properly, drained the gas tank, ran it, triloquit. And then the spring, I put gasoline in it, popped the spark plug back in it. First pull
started right away because you winterized it.
It's winterized, it doesn't have all that gunk, all that booze they put in the gasoline will mess it up, you know.
You're right.
So you want to make sure to drain it real good in the winter.
Not ethanol.
So anyway, it started right up, changed the oil and everything's ready to go. So
good.
I was planning on maybe dethatching today, but it might not happen. So
okay.
So anyway, I'll be at the drawing board doing landscape design.
You're still working, though.
At the nursery? Oh, yeah. Nursery, we have some new tropicals in, and the shrubs are coming in. We got a whole boatload of the baby jam boxwoods. Now, I say, what's a baby jam boxwood? The baby jam boxwood is one that doesn't get very tall. It gets about as tall as a tabletop right here, which is about, well, I guess 26 inches tall or so.
And less than 3 feet.
Yeah. Anyway, the reason why it's called baby jam is the leaf node is extraordinarily close on this particular one. And that is how we get dwarfism in plants, is by selectively breeding them to where the node on the leaf is close together. You notice that on a lot of dwarf plants, dwarf yaupon holly, for instance, and the micron dwarf yaupon holly, which we got some in too. The leaf node is noticeably closer on that one than it is on the standard yaupon holly. That makes things dwarf. But you didn't know that, huh?
I didn't.
Anyway, that's how we get dwarf plants. We're starting to get some perennials in. Our Lenten roses are in, hellebores are in. And people look at that and they're just fascinated by it. Some plant that can actually come up and bloom when in the dead of winter like that. And that's what the hellebores does. It's a pretty interesting plant. If you have an area that's shaded, say underneath an oak tree or something like that, I wouldn't put it under a maple tree or a hackberry tree. It wouldn't grow under those because of the root system. But in an oak situation, or even on the east side of the house or the north side of the house, in an area that drains pretty well and where the soil is good and loose and organic, we're narrowing the scope pretty far over here for hellebores. It'll do pretty well.
Okay.
So it's a good one to have. We got some good ones at the nursery right now, and they've been able to breed out this nodding effect of the flowers. The flowers would tend to point downwards, and now through selective breeding, sort of like leaf nodes, they've been able to get to the flowers point upwards, so they you can see them actually when they bloom.
It's pretty.
They used to be considered kind of an oddity, but they're becoming more mainstream, and there's more color variations. There's more density of blooms than in the past. So the hellebores is an interesting plant to just have an accent here. It doesn't have to be a mainstay, and I don't recommend it as a mainstay in the landscape because it has a limited bloom time, but as a point of interest for this time of year in the landscape, it'll do very well.
Good.
In the summertime, it has leaves that are trifoliate or even up to five-leaved on the compound leaves. And they're kind of a pretty plant too, even when they're not in bloom. So you might consider that underneath your Japanese maple or close to your azaleas or something like that in a kind of a woodsy setting. They'll be very attractive. So hellebores is definitely one to consider.
Hellebores.
Flowering shrubs are coming in. We got a few forsythias there at the nursery and some new red buds. The geraniums are coming on real well. Some people came in, oh my God, look at the geraniums. And we have the shamrocks right now. We have a whole table full of them. And golly, they're putting on heavy blooms right now. They're really attractive at this point. So, yeah, shamrocks do bloom.
Just in time for St. Patrick's Day.
Exactly. And we have them in the purple leaves or the standard green leaf shamrocks. And it's a good tabletop decoration or a good houseplant, actually. They last a long time. You could also bring it out in the yard. And we have a caller.
We do. Good morning. You're on the air with Larry.
Y'all have a good summer calls today?
At 9 o'clock, so you got 20 more minutes.
Thank you.
If you have a phone call for Larry, phone number is 1-800-749-5936.
Okay, the rain is in Pawhuska right now, it looks like, so it's getting there.
It's approaching.
All right.
Just in time for consumer calls on the road, the rain.
Right. Now, it's a bit early to put the geraniums outside. It's going to be 23 degrees, I believe, Tuesday night, so it wouldn't be good to plant those outside. But we have been growing them since, October, November, and they're starting to show some really good blooms. So we just come look at them, I guess.
When's that last freeze? May, probably?
April the 15th.
April the 15th.
It's traditional. That's now, on April the 15th, or even April the 10th, you want to look at the weather forecast.
Uh-huh.
And on April the 15th, for sure, look at the weather forecast. They're getting pretty good with this lately.
Right.
So to be able to tell if you can put things out on the 15th.
I think we have another caller. Good morning. You're on the air with Larry.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm having trouble hearing. I was wondering if Larry would have any suggestions of foundation plants for the north side of my house.
Okay. Yeah. Foundation plants are the anchor of a landscape. You have seasonal stability with foundation plants. So you want to pick out plants that look good in January, and you want to pick out plants that, at the same time, look pretty good in July. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to hang up because I cannot hear you. I am so sorry. I'll try again later. Thank you.
Oh, sure.
Well, maybe she's listening off air, and you can go, I don't know. Maybe you
have okay, well, if you're listening off air, yeah, you begin with on a foundation planting, per se. You start with plants that have seasonal stability. Mm-hmm. I call it seasonal stability, in that they look just as good in the spring and the fall and summer and whatever in the winter. And that's typically nandinas, typically dwarf yopon hollies, boxwoods, things like that, as a base, if you will. And then you play up a little bit from those with some accent plants. That can be anything like a Japanese maple, or Rose of Sharon or anything like that that has some seasonal interest. And then you have your backup support plants, like the dwarf nandinas, for instance, that have the winter color in the winter, or azaleas or something like that that bloom in a certain period of time. So it's basically you start with a base of good, steady plants and then elaborate from that.
Okay.
It's difficult to teach design over the air. It's more of a visual thing.
That's true.
But if you have any questions, bring a picture of your house by and we can show you some plants that will work in these certain areas.
Yeah, I would guess a one-on-one kind of hands-on thing would be good for that.
Would be the best way to go about doing it. Right. Sure. And then there's just almost an unlimited number of plants that fit that category.
Sure.
So
if you have a phone call or a question for Larry, once again, phone number 1-800-749-5936. If you have a gardening-related question, we'll take another two-minute timeout. You're listening to The Green Country Gardener.
Faith and Begora, get your shamrocks now at Green Thumb Nursery. And while there, be sure to pick up your geraniums. Green Thumb has geraniums in various colors and pot sizes. And now's the time to plan your vegetable garden. Pick up your garden seeds today at Green Thumb. And you really should be sowing your lawn right now. Green Thumb has 5-star fescue seed in stock. And be sure to check out Green Thumb's new shipment of trees and shrubs. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5.
2.2 million American Indians and Alaska Natives are important members of our country's diverse culture. A world where today's American Indian and Alaska Native children grow up to enjoy the highest levels of physical, emotional, and spiritual life is one you can help create. Join us at the Indian Health Service to provide care today that will change their tomorrows. Learn more about scholarships, loan repayment, and health careers at ihs.gov/careerops.
Save up to $9,000 on 2017 GMC trucks at Patriot GMC in Bartlesville, your exclusive home of warranty forever. At Patriot GMC in Bartlesville, we will not only give you the best deal on new GMC trucks and SUVs, but you'll be treated with courtesy and respect the moment you walk on the lot. Just go to your favorite review site online and see what others are saying.
Diana from Bartlesville said,
I was very impressed with the service I received. Buying a car was not stressful and it was very enjoyable. I never felt pressured, which made me more confident in buying from Patriot. I will definitely refer.
With 50 GMCs on the lot, you'll not only save up to $9,000 on a 2017 GMC 4x4, but get to see the different colors and options as well. If you're ready for a hassle-free buying experience, come see us at Patriot GMC, the exclusive home of warranty forever, on Highway 75 in Bartlesville, or at GoPatriotAuto.com. GMC, we are professional grade.
2017 GMC Sierra, stock number 17126, MSRP $62,345, Patriot price $52,900, all rebates to dealer.
Ooh, crazy is what they think about me. Ain't gonna stop cause they tell me.
Good morning. Welcome back to Green Country Gardener. About 14 minutes until the top of the hour. Hopefully you're finding a way to stay dry in this Saturday, March the 11th. If you have a phone call, gardening-related question, landscaping-related question, something like that for Larry Glass, phone number to join the program is 1-800-749-5936, 1-800-749-5936. In fact, we just had a landscaping question, and I think that's next on your items of things to talk about.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about planning, and planning is very important. It's sort of like a roadmap to your final goal in your landscaping. And there's a lot on the palette from which to choose. And you have to know what goes where. I've seen some people put azaleas way out in the prairie, out in the wide open. And they don't do. Mm-hmm. Same thing with hostas. They have a lot of deer and they plant a lot of hostas. Well, they don't have hostas when that happens. So so really kind of knowing the environment is very important and what plants will grow here and there and where and everything else. And also looking at your soil type and your drainage, your exposure to the house, and how much work you want to do in the landscape. If you don't want to do a lot of work out there, if you want something that's just going to look nice without a lot of work, then you have to be very careful with your plant selection. Because as I was mentioning earlier, different plants have different traits, different heights, and so on, and appearances throughout the year. So plant selection is very important, and that comes with the knowledge of the 20,000 or so plants that are available for us to use in the landscape.
Just a few, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway. And getting your soil ready is very important, too. You got to know your soil pH. You got to know your soil structure. And soil drainage, et cetera, before these plants will do well. Because just because hackberry trees and Johnson grass do very well here doesn't necessarily mean camellias and azaleas will do well in the same soil. They have different requirements. So it's best to, and it doesn't cost any much of anything really to have somebody come out and just tell you, well, or just come by the nursery, like I said, with a picture of your house and where you live, and then we can kind of guide you through what will do well in that situation.
Sure.
But you must tell us, I don't want to do anything with these plants. I just want to put them in the ground and water them a little bit, and that's all.
Right.
And then we can do that. And I get some people who really want to get involved in the landscape, too. They want to go out and putter in the landscape, if you will. And there's solutions for that also.
Sure.
So. Anyway, so planning is a very important, a very careful process, and it takes a little time sometimes to meet people's criteria, but it can be done. So anyway, you can have me come out to the house and call up the nursery for an appointment, and then I can meet you out there. I'm very busy. I'm very busy right now.
Or bring a picture by, right? That was the other thing.
Yeah, bring a picture by, or sometimes it's best for me to visit.
Actually see it?
Yeah, to visit it. So.
Sure.
And sometimes you bring a picture and we show you plants, and we get nowhere.
Right.
And then you say, well, I'll just come out.
Sure.
So.
Okay.
Anyway, perennials in the garden. What do we need to look for right now? Your hostas are starting to come up. Be very careful while you walk in the garden because you don't want to break off the hosta eyes. They're coming up. It's time to divide them, too, if you want to divide your hostas. I much prefer to divide them as they start to grow so you don't have the risk of damage due to root rot and so on. They'll heal up quicker right now because they're actively growing. So you want to consider dividing your hostas right now if you want to do that. The peonies are starting to come up too. The little red eyes are starting to emerge. So you need to get those. Just watch out for them.
Okay.
When they come up real fast. I mean, boom, overnight. You've got these red stems that come up and they're sort of like kudzu. They just grow up. If you're familiar with, we're not familiar with that over here. It's the down south kind of thing, but kudzu grows like crazy.
Okay.
Like bamboo. They just come up and they're up in a matter of days. So anyway, they're starting to come up too.
Peonies,
right. And you can always tell when it's going to rain. The peonies are in full bloom when it rains, and it knocks them all down. So it just happens every year. Heuchera is up. The tulips are up and blooming right now. Lycoris. You say, what is lycoris? Those are the ones that bloom pink in the summer.
Mm.
They're otherwise known as naked ladies. They're up right now, too.
There you go.
Essentially, all the perennials are starting to come up. So be very careful when raking out the beds that you don't pull up your perennials.
Going to disturb some of those things.
Exactly.
Let's take our final break of the program. We'll come back and have the final few minutes here. You've got a few more minutes. If you'd like to join us, by the way, have a gardening-related question, phone number 1-800-749-5936, 1-800-749-5936. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener Radio Network.
When you're building the home you've always wanted, look to 400 Series windows and patio doors from the brand most trusted by builders and remodelers, Anderson. With variety, style, and time-tested performance, it's no wonder they are our most popular windows and doors. 400 Series Windows and Doors from Anderson. Why choose anything else? See Anderson Windows at Overlees Woods Lumber Company on Nowata Road in Bartlesville.
Searching for the best mower? Bobcat commercial mowers are the top of the food chain and built like you'd build them. Select models feature the Bobcat 6-year or 2,750-hour Mow with Confidence Limited warranty. Get 0% interest rate for 48 months with your first payment due 35 days from date of closing and a $50 customer origination fee. Save money, cut grass, slash downtime with the fierce performance of a Bobcat.
Hi, I'm John Summer. Come see us at Four Seasons Ag and Lawn, 3 miles south of Ulaga on 169, or John's Tractor Works in Veneta, Oklahoma, 4 miles east of Veneta on 69.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down. 15, 14,
41, 31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street.
Garden Street?
Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly, he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side,
you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Good morning. A few more minutes left in the program, about 7 to be exact. If you have a question for Larry, gardening-related question on Green Country Gardener, you can give us a phone call, 1-800-749-5936, 1-800-749-5936. Larry, we were talking about landscaping last. Lighting in the garden was up next. Lighting.
Low-voltage lighting can add extra dimension of enjoyment in the garden all night long. Or you can program it, not throughout, whatever. Night lighting is used to accentuate special features in the garden. You can highlight your specimen plants, trees, statuary, and your house. I like to use lighting on the house.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people's houses have stone siding on it, or brick siding, or stone accents on it. And if you put a low-voltage light in the ground and shine it up on the house, it really makes those features pop out.
Mm.
So it's a really good thing at night, too.
Security
kind of thing.
Yeah,
too.
Lots of people in my neighborhood have the floodlights that are motion sensored. Of course, that doesn't really have anything to do with the garden or garden, I guess. But I walk in the evening, and the motion sensor light comes on, and it startles me. I jump back because I set off the motion light, and I don't know, you know, it's kind of startling.
Yeah, I remember when they first came out, they had these pictures of guys with masks over their eyes and striped shirts.
Yeah, that's right.
They're running away from your house.
with the lights come on. Yeah, all it does is startle me. But.
Yeah, but anyway. So low-voltage lights can really play up the house pretty well. I've got some on my house that are shining on the house number, so the pizza guy knows where to go.
There you go.
And
and you want the pizza guy to be able to see your plants, too.
Oh, yeah, exactly, yeah. And on the specimen type of plants, too. So, we're getting into, and we've been using LED lights in our low voltage lighting system for years now, and have come up with a real reliable solution. Some of the low voltage LED lights have an LED emitter. It's a disc like thing built into it.
Okay.
And if that goes out, you have to buy a whole new fixture.
Yeah.
What we've done is use the standard outdoor light fixtures.
Okay.
They're either cast aluminum or stainless steel.
Right.
Where a MR16 bulb fits in. And we put an MR16 LED bulb in that place.
Okay.
That way, if something happens with the LED light, it's easy to replace. It's a $8 fix as opposed to a $30 fix. It's what I've just happened to go.
So the other one has a fixture built in. Is that what you're saying? And these
I'm not saying avoid those, but I'm saying that it can happen that it could corrode, and it could happen, and you'll have to wind up replacing the whole thing.
Okay.
Otherwise, you might want to get one that has a replaceable light source. You can't call an LED a bulb because it isn't really a bulb.
Right.
But we've come to do it that way.
Right, exactly.
So anyway, do that. And they're available in several different wattages. Anyway, from 2 to 5 watts. Now, if you're doing a path light, you can go down to maybe even a 1. I've got a 1-watt LED as an experimental path light at my house. It's fine. And then there's a 2-watt, which lights up on a light fixture. So it's a bipin that takes the place of a halogen bulb.
Okay.
And it does just as good a job as a halogen bulb, and it does a fairly broad area. That's a 4-watt LED bulb. And then I've got 5 watts that just light up the whole house.
Right.
A 5-watt LED bulb was very powerful. You have to also keep in mind that these LED lights generate some heat, and they need to lose that heat somehow.
Okay.
So a metal fixture is really good for that because it pulls the heat away.
Now, what happens if it gets too hot? Is there a danger there or something?
Generally, they're designed to operate with a pretty good amount of heat. Now,
okay.
your fixture, my fixtures at home, we've got 3 different kinds, and just did some experimenting, and they get warm to the touch. That means they're doing their job, and they're pulling the heat away from the LED fixture and keeping it cool enough to operate in its operating parameters. That's provided the supplier of the LED bulbs put enough heat sink compound in it to transfer the energy out. So, and we have one that has an actual aluminum disc at the base of the MR16 interface that draws the heat out. and it transfers it to the light fixture itself.
That's so far more complicated than I would have ever imagined.
Yeah, it is. So yeah. You have to keep in mind, not every fixture is compatible with LEDs. So the lower the wattage on the LED, the better it's going to tolerate inability to lose heat.
And obviously, the higher the wattage, the brighter it is. Right?
At this point in time, you want to steer clear of, say, 10-watt LED light bulbs. There you go, using that word bulb again. Because they can overheat and burn out if they're not properly cooled. So right about 5 watts LED bulb is the maximum I like to use. And that's pretty doggone bright. That's like a 50-watt halogen bulb, which is really bright. And a 50-watt halogen bulb gets really, really hot. And I've had it actually melt the wiring inside and cause some extensive corrosion, not only due to the heat, but due to the amperage it draws, too. So the advantage of another advantage of the LEDs is they have a low amperage draw, and they can be used very effectively on a smaller wire. So anyway, there are a lot of things to think about in the landscape. This is a busy time for people to do stuff in the landscape. It's a heavy time for pruning and for getting ready for annual plantings and all that, and it's a good time to think about what you can do in your landscape later on, and you can come by the nursery and get some ideas, or you can have me come out to your house, give you some ideas, and so your yard can be beautiful this summer. So anyway, we'll see you next week.
That's
and
right.
By all means, in doing that landscape, keep that shovel good and sharp.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227CQ Bartlesville.
39 degrees. We've got about 10 more seconds until 9 o'clock. Glad to have you with us on this Saturday, March the 11th. Don't forget, set your clocks forward 1 hour before you go to bed tonight, because it's 9 o'clock now, but it's almost kind of like it's 10 o'clock.
CBS News, I'm Peter King. The president has just tweeted that his administration is making great progress with health care. Quote, Obamacare is imploding and will only get worse. Republicans coming together to get job done. Some conservative Republicans would disagree with that assessment. Here's correspondent Steve Dorsey.
The Trump administration has been trying to convince more Republicans to support the plan to replace Obamacare. Some conservatives say the bill includes health care tax credits.